All right, welcome to Indie Media On Air. I'm Chris Burnett, and tonight we are going to be talking about a couple of issues. We're going to continue to talk about the Occupy Wall Street movement, as well as Hack Meet. And Hack Meet is happening this weekend in San Francisco on October 15th and 16th. That's Saturday and Sunday. And to join us to talk about that is a longtime indie media organizer from the Bay Area, part of the Indie Bay Collective, Mark. Mark, welcome to Indie Media On Air.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's really good to have you. So I know that you have something to tell us about what's going on with Occupy Oakland, but let's get to that after we talk about Hack Meet. Hack Meet is a West Coast hack meeting happening this weekend. Why don't you give us some context for what this is about?
Okay. Well, this is the second Hack Meet event that we're having in San Francisco. The first one was in 2007, so it's been 4 years already. And so we're definitely ready for this year's Hack Meet to finally come into place. It's going to be 2 days, and it's going to be at NoiseBridge, which is a nonprofit educational hackerspace in San Francisco. And basically, the goal of Hack Meet is to bring together the worlds of technology and activism into one, unconference, we call it, because it's pretty unstructured. There's a lot of talks that people are just announcing at the last minute when they show up. If there's some interesting topic, something they're working on, they can slot their talk into the schedule, and we'll have like three parallel tracks going on of people giving workshops and skill shares and other things. And so that'll basically cover a lot of interesting things that have been going on in the past year or so. WikiLeaks, all this hacktivism, as they call it, political-based hacker groups that have been in the news lately, and also just a lot of like practical skill shares for activists to learn about how they can use technology more effectively in their day-to-day organizing work and how to use technology like safely and securely. A lot of people are rightly concerned about privacy of their data and all kinds of things, with the Patriot Act and everything else. So I'll have three tracks of Skillshares, and we're super excited. So hopefully some people will be coming into town from L.A. and from the Northwest, and so we're billing this as a West Coast hack meet.
So just to bring people up to speed, this is kind of – it's when you say hack meet, it's basically a lot of people who have skills in the computer environment who are organizers, activists, artists, who are trying to share their skills or whatever and also learn about privacy issues. And people should go to hackmeet.org. That's the website, just like it sounds, hackmeet.org. And the full schedule is there. It is NoiseBridge, as Mark was saying, a nonprofit space. It's located at 2169 Mission Street in San Francisco, California. So what's the history on Hack Meet, and what kind of – if you're talking about people who are radicals and organizers and activists coming together in a climate of the Patriot Act, I'd expect that there are not only security issues with the event, but there's going to be concerns about infiltration. There's going to be concerns about – how information gets shared. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'd like to mention about the history of this idea of a hack meeting. And it's not something that we came up with ourselves. This is something that's been going on for really the past couple of decades. The first hack meetings were held in the 90s in Italy and Spain, and that concept really spread around the world. So there's been hack meetings going on ever since. And, these are open events. They're usually free events. Anybody can come and give a talk and, learn about, some kind of technology that, maybe they are, totally beginner, when they arrive and maybe they can leave with, like, some new skills that'll be really useful to them. So there's definitely a lot of concerns about, law enforcement showing up, to find out who's, interested in, using technology and to continue the surveillance that they're doing day to day of organizing that's going on in our communities. So that's not really anything that we can easily prevent, especially if somebody's coming in undercover. But the main point is that this is an educational event, so we want people to come and feel welcome and ready to learn. And we can't really control who shows up.
Well, one of the things I've noticed on the schedule, I mean, some of the workshops sound pretty amazing, and I want to read a few for the listening audience. There's openness does not imply accountability, strategies for transcending the leak. There's offensive and defensive hacktivism, Drupal site building. There's consensus decision-making training. There is SSL and a future of authenticity, social networking for radicals. There's many, many different workshops that are already listed. But there's also a strong presence by a number of lawyers who work with the Electronic Frontier Foundation. What kind of stuff will they be talking about?
Yeah, we're really excited that we have some folks from EFF involved. Let's see, Marsha Hoffman will be talking about know your digital rights, I should say. Basically, what should you do if the police show up at your door and try to seize your computer, or if they ask you for passwords, if they ask to search your phone when you're arrested at a protest or something like that. So she'll be talking about, what constitutional protections we might still have. They seem to be disappearing every year. And then also, what are some technological solutions you can take to encrypt your data and try to protect it from being seized and surveilled and so forth.
Right.
So that should be pretty interesting. We also have some more technical talks. Micah Lee will be talking about HTTPS, which, this is a secure web browsing that we use every day when we're doing online banking or email. It can also be used just to protect our privacy day to day with, whatever we're web browsing or doing online. And so he'll be talking about some plugins and other things that EFF has been developing to make that safer and more secure for everyone. And then also, Rainey Reitman is a activist, is her, official title at EFF. And she'll be talking about how to win a PR war against the U.S. government, because oftentimes EFF is going up directly against the U.S. government in terms of filing lawsuits and just, trying to get some PR spin in the media to fight what the government is saying. So she'll be kind of telling some stories of what she's been doing the last few years with EFF, and hopefully it'll be something that, a lot of people can learn from in their own organizing work.
And also I'm noticing that there's a workshop on saving Private Manning, Bradley Manning, who is the alleged WikiLeaks whistleblower. And there's also a discussion on feminism in relation to Anonymous, it looks like. So it's pretty impressive broad range of issues, and I think that anybody within the organizing and radical communities would do well to learn sort of the ropes when you're dealing with secure information.
Yeah, so we're trying to keep it to be sort of an even mix of beginner level talks and also some more technical talks for people who already work in technology, to really try to move ahead, because oftentimes technology really is kind of broken. It really doesn't necessarily meet our best interests. I mean, the internet is more or less controlled by the U.S. government and various big corporations and so forth. So oftentimes, internet users, we need to fight for our rights, and we need to take part of shaping this technology to really meet our needs and allow us to, maintain our privacy and so forth. So I think that's a big part of HackMeet, is that folks that are working on this can come together and find out, what problems people are having, what's hard to do in terms of, secure communication that activists need to do day to day, and figure out how we can make that better.
I want to remind listeners, I'm speaking with Mark, who is an organizer, co-organizer with HackMeet 2011. It's the West Coast Hack Meeting. It's happening this weekend, October 15th and 16th, in San Francisco at a location called Noise Bridge. It's 2169 Mission Street, San Francisco, California. The domain name, so you can get more information, is hackmeet.org. That's hackmeet, H-A-C-K, meet, M-E-E-T, .org. Go there and get some sign up. Do it. You can do your own workshop. It's an unconference, meaning that it's a lot of flexibility in the schedules. Things will be changing. Things will be added. So check it out. And, Mark, I just want to transition a little bit into the Occupy movement up in the Bay Area, because I know you had you were at the Oakland site today for the Occupy Wall Street movement. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that and how this might even link back into HackMeet.
Okay, yeah. Well, today was really exciting in Oakland. It was the first day of Occupy Oakland, and it's actually been a rainy day all day here in the Bay Area, so we were not really sure how many people would come out, but everyone was amazed, and we had at least 500 people, probably more considering that people were coming and going. Occupy Oakland is right in the middle of downtown Oakland, at what people call Oscar Grant Plaza now, and this is right in front of City Hall. And people were setting up tents and shelters, and so it definitely looks like people are planning to spend the night, and it looks like our weather will be a lot better for the next week, so I think even more people will come out and hopefully fill up that plaza with tents. Today we had the General Assembly going on. It might still be going on right now. It's basically like open mic hour. So people have been coming through and rapping and all kinds of stuff has been going on. And I think we will have a live stream of that up soon if we don't already. It's definitely all being filmed. There's a lot of technology coming into play here with the Occupy movement, in terms of getting all of these occupations online and streamed and so forth. I know over in San Francisco we've set up a bicycle-powered hotspot, so people can, basically sit on a bike and pedal to generate electricity and, power internet hotspot, and then use that to do, live video streaming all day from Occupy SF. So if you look up Occupy SF on live stream, you can get to the, their, 24-hour day live feed.
Well, I'd like to bring in another local activist from Los Angeles to fill us in on the Occupy movement here in L.A. and in Riverside. Mark, if you can stay with us, that'd be great. Ben is an activist in the Inland Empire who's also active in L.A. politics. He's also a member of the local L.A. Indie Media Editorial Collective. Ben, welcome to Indie Media On Air.
Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us tonight.
I'm glad to be here.
So, you've been traveling around quite a bit, and I know we were talking earlier, you've been to Sacramento with the Occupy movement as well as Riverside in Los Angeles. Why don't you give us a sense of what's going on in each spot and your impression of it?
Sure. I think like most people who have been involved in social movements for a while, especially those of us who favor horizontal processes and anti-authoritarianism, I've just been really excited and inspired by this the occupation movement, the fact that we're refocusing back on the capitalists, on Wall Street again, involving a lot of new people in this struggle. It's just, it's really been overwhelming emotionally. I know you had Quasi and some other folks talking about L.A. last time, but here in Riverside, we just started having General Assemblies last week, and now I've just stepped away from this evening's General Assembly to just to be able to speak with you. We're planning on starting our occupation on October 15th, which is a national and I believe international day of action. And in Sacramento, I was there over the weekend, and I stopped by the occupation. I was unfortunately unable to spend the night there, but he had a lot of similar phenomenon, a lot of new people getting involved, a lot of people engaging in political discussion, seemed like a lot of them for the first time. A lot of activity, a lot of solidarity, a lot of very good feelings, people filled with hope.
Well, this is this kind of leads into some of the concerns that a lot of anti-authoritarians and people who are interested in horizontal organizing and and those kind of politics. There's been a lot of sort of constructive criticism against or about the way that things are being run, especially in some cities. I read a thing about Austin. There's definitely a difference in politics between sort of what it characterizes is a middle class movement that wants to pacify the movement in a way that they were making relationships with the police. There's actually been efforts to throw some of the more radical elements out. I know that, and there's been criticisms of even having an occupation in which the city of Los Angeles actually backs that occupation. Is it really an occupation? And I'd like maybe both of you to address that. Ben, why don't you address that, because you know about what's happening in L.A., and then Mark, if you've seen anything or any concerns like that, I think it should be aired and discussed.
Sure. I definitely feel the same kind of nervousness when it comes to dealing with middle-class folks and people who have been apolitical up to now, people that don't really understand a lot of the concepts that a lot of us have been dealing with for a long time. And not just those folks, but also there's a lot of, you know, Ron Paul people, end the Fed kind of politics, which I think is also very middle class. And there's a lot of tension there, especially around issues of race and gender, not just class, but race and gender, and other ways that people are marginalized. There's been a lot of tension and a lot of very serious discussions, some of them beyond tense, to put it nicely. But I think that, especially with the new people, we have a chance to politicize them through experience and to radicalize them through experience and to reach out to them and to embrace them and make them feel welcome and really share the love that I think drives a lot of us revolutionaries. And I think that's very infectious. And with the Ron Paul people and those kind of folks, it's kind of a little bit of a strange bedfellows situation. But at the same time, I think that, you know, if capitalism was going to fall, we would kind of be thrust into this situation anyways. So it's better for us to have a training ground, a way to practice dealing with each other and getting along with each other before things get really, really bad, before, you know, plugging something in and no electric current goes through it because of a total collapse.
That's a really good point. Mark, can you weigh in on this?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I'll just talk about what I've seen locally. I've been to a couple of the General Assemblies for Occupy Oakland, and I would say Oakland has been really solid. I mean, they have a really good crew of folks, both young folks and people who've been doing community organizing for many years, and I don't think they're compromising. I mean, certainly there might be people involved who are willing to make compromises, but the General Assembly as a whole is working on consensus. So, you know, they're not going to, you know, be able to vote on some course of action that people have a major problem with. And they've been doing consensus trainings at the beginning of every General Assembly, and so let's hope that they continue using that consensus process and it keeps working as well as it has been. Over in San Francisco, I mean, I would say really the city, or at least the police, have been doing a good job of radicalizing the occupation over there, because they attacked the occupation in the middle of the night with, you know, a huge squad of riot police and Department of Public Works trucks coming in and trying to pick up basically everything at the camp, all the personal belongings, all the food, medical, you know, media-related gear, everything. And people actually fought back. I mean, I should say people defended themselves. You know, they basically formed a perimeter as the police were trying to surround them. And then there are so many supporters down there that the occupation was actually able to surround the police. And so at one point, the police and the city workers that the police were kind of directing were totally surrounded. And the police actually, I mean, they overreacted. They beat some kids up. They arrested at least one person. And so I think people down there have seen that, you know, the city and the police are not going to be on their side. And it's going to be up to them to defend the occupation and keep it going day after day. So we'll see how it goes from here.
Yeah, and I just want to say, what you were saying about this is an opportunity for us to come together and figure out these differences, and it's a good time to do it now rather than later. I really agree with that sentiment. I want to read a little bit of an excerpt from a CrimeThink website that wrote a letter to the occupiers, a letter from anarchists, and this section is called Occupation is Nothing New. The land we stand on is already occupied territory. The United States was founded upon the extermination of indigenous peoples and the colonization of their land, not to mention centuries of slavery and exploitation. For a counter-occupation to be meaningful, it has to begin from this history. Better yet, it should embrace the history of resistance extending from indigenous self-defense and slave revolts through the various workers and anti-war movements right up to the recent anti-globalization movement. They have a section on police can't be trusted, which I think is relevant to be read. They may be ordinary workers, but their job is to protect the interests of the ruling class. As long as they remain employed as police, we can't count on them, however friendly they might act. Occupiers who don't know this already will learn it firsthand as soon as they threaten the imbalance of wealth and power in our society is based on. Anyone who insists that the police exist to protect and serve the common people has probably lived a privileged life and an obedient one. Ben, can you weigh in additionally on where people are going now that you know the General Assembly has made a lot of headway in terms of its processes. What do you see in terms of these issues we're talking about and where they're headed? Because I know there's a number of marches coming up, and specifically an Indigenous Peoples Movement march.
Sure. I think when you have an assembly that's that big, you're going to have people that are going to unilaterally, if even if it's not agree on, reach out to the police, tell them things, try to build some kind of relationship with them. In LA, it's given us a degree of cover. Even the politicians coming in, it's given us a degree of cover. At the same time, it reveals that up until now, we haven't really threatened the power structure as it is. We haven't really threatened the ruling class. I think when that point comes, we're going to have to be more bold about making a decision about the nature of our relationship with the police. My argument has been that, unions might want to support us, politicians might want to support us, whoever wants to support us, that's fine as long as it doesn't threaten our autonomy as a movement. That's kind of, and I kind of see that operating in to some degree, but I think the lesson about non-collaboration and especially non-informing, not doing any of the informant stuff, is one that has to be driven home, especially to those middle-class folks who have been enjoying that privilege all their lives.
Mark?
Well, I just wanted to say in San Francisco this week, we're going to be seeing a lot more people joining Occupy SF. There's a number of community organizations and labor unions and other groups that haven't really been directly involved in Occupy SF, but they're recently announcing their support, and they're organizing a march Wednesday morning, which is going to meet at Occupy SF, and then they'll be marching around to some of the banks in the financial district of San Francisco, also known as Wall Street West. So I think this is going to be really exciting. This isn't something that was really planned by Occupy SF. This is really sort of collaboration between Occupy SF activists and people who hadn't been involved until now. And then over in Oakland, I think we're going to see something similar. We're going to see, more and more groups coming out to support Occupy Oakland and just more and more autonomous organizing by all the different groups that are involved. So it's definitely an exciting time, and I'm glad that Hack Meet is happening at the same time. So we can talk about how to support all these movements, through technology and all these tools we have.
Right. And we only have a couple of minutes left. I want to remind listeners that I was talking with Mark earlier about Hack Meet. Go to hackmeet.org. It's happening this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Tools for activists on online organizing, tons of workshops. Know your rights. Get involved. And maybe you have friends, or maybe you're going up to the Bay Area this weekend, so check that out. Ben and Mark, I want to thank you very much for joining me tonight on Indie Media on Air on the show. You guys are doing great work. Thank you very much. Any last final thoughts?
Yeah, I got one. If I could just encourage all the KPFK listeners and everyone who's listening on the web, that the media is a very, very important part of this struggle. that you may have your blog, you may have your Facebook, but remember who owns Facebook, who owns Google, who owns all these other places that people are blogging. Use the Independent Media Center. Put your photos up there. Put your reports up there. It's a space for radical voices and for community. We don't take anybody's information, and we're definitely not selling anything to the FBI or to any capitalists. Use IMC. And there's a really good article about our first General Assembly in Riverside that's written from a revolutionary perspective. You all should check it out.
And where is that at?
It's on the LA Indie Media website. It just, if you look under latest news, under la.indiemedia.org, it's called Occupy Riverside with the date.
And Mark, any last thoughts, URLs, et cetera?
Yeah, I want to plug, first of all, a new website that just launched today. It's called occupyideas.cc. And there isn't much content there yet, but I invite everybody to add their ideas for the whole Occupy movement to this site. Basically, it can serve as like a clearinghouse for everybody to just brain dump their ideas, and then people can vote on ideas that they like, and the more popular ones bubble up to the top so more people will see them. An interesting way that we can use non-corporate open source technology just to try to collaboratively brainstorm.
That sounds great.
On a national scale.
Occupy Ideas.
OccupyIdeas.cc.
OccupyIdeas.cc and, of course, IndieBay.org. Thank you guys very much for joining me tonight. It's been a pleasure having you on Indie Media On Air.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks so much for having us.
All right. I'm Chris Burnett. This is Indie Media On Air. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. And check out la.indiemedia.org, IndyMedia. Stay on the non-corporate websites and post your information. Thank you. You can be an agent.
Stay up late Monday through Thursday nights from midnight to 6 a.m. to celebrate 35 years of Dynamite Radio for Night People on Something's Happening with Roy of Hollywood. Get the latest on political, health, and spiritual news, as well as interviews and commentary from the likes of Noam Chomsky, Dave Emery, Gary Null, and Alan Watts.